I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives radio show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I am Liz Larson, and I'm here with
Bill McKenna.
My friend, Bill McKenna. And we're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And we're also the team that created the Cogno Movement System. And we have the great joy today to welcome back our friend, Caroline Corey. Everybody, this show is not exactly about health today. This is about something bigger, greater, more that has to do with all of us on the planet. And Caroline has a brand new project and a new movie out. It's called A Tear in the Sky. Caroline is the producer, the writer, the director. She's everything for this movie. And Bill and I have both seen it, and we're both really excited to ask all of our questions. So welcome, Caroline.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. We're just thrilled about this. So let's start from the beginning. How did this project come about? Where did it begin?
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned earlier it has nothing to do, or maybe it's not totally related to health, but it is related to consciousness in a lot of ways. And that is the base of who we are, you know? And so, but just to answer your question, since I was very young, I would have all sorts of experiences. You know, I would see things that nobody could see. I could sense the aura. I could look at someone and knew what was going on with them, what was going to happen the next day, and things like that. And also, I would see beings, you know, like angels and all sorts of stuff. And eventually that got me into the field of consciousness. How is it possible that you could know or tap into information that you didn't know about beforehand? And so 20 years later, after writing books and teaching and, you know, teaching workshops on the subject, I started to realize that there's a lot of validation. This is real, you know. You do an energy session and it works. And you can undo patterns, you can undo all sorts of imbalances through consciousness and through energy. So I decided to start making films about this subject to basically show the connection between consciousness and the physical world, and how they affect each other, basically. And so with that, I realized as a filmmaker, I became kind of, my signature was, how do I make these paranormal, you know, these out there subject normal? So you do that by bringing science, bringing live on camera experiments, you know? And that's what I did with my previous films. And more recently, I got on the subject of UFOs because I had personal experiences, and I came across hundreds of people from around the world who also had...
Hold up, wait. Hold up a second. Wait, hold on.
Yes.
You had personal experiences with UFOs? Tell us what, this is very important. Tell us what happened. What's that? Because without that, there probably wouldn't have been this curiosity.
Yeah, but Bill, you know, I had experiences with beings as well, you know, that weren't human. So it kind of was part of the whole thing. But I had several sightings, but one of the most striking ones was pretty recent, actually. I was at my house and I just felt the need or the desire to just go outside. It was nighttime. And so I go outside and I see three balls of light. They were like bouncing off of each other. So I'm a skeptic, actually. I didn't go right away like, oh, the, you know. So I was like, wait, what is that? What is that? You know, catch your breath here, you know, to don't come to conclusions. And then I thought, wait, because I have so many kind of energetic connection with whether being, seeing, seeing the visible, the invisible, it doesn't matter. I kind of started to connect with it. And I was like, well, if this is a UFO, if this is some sort of intelligence, you know, behind it, well, then show me something, you know, I was, you know, and all of a sudden the three, the three spheres split into four, then split into six, then split into eight. And then I was like, okay, well, that was interesting. Again, maybe it's a coincidence. Let's see more. I want to see more. So then I started walking about half a mile in one direction. And I said, well, if you can hear me, or if this is that what I think you are, then follow me. So they were like, you know, like, follow me, like half a mile in one direction. And then I changed direction. And then they're like following, they're hovering right above me. So this is one of the most striking, profound experiences that I had with UFOs.
This is one of the things that is being talked about more and more. And because of films like yours, more openly, so many people are making this correlation to consciousness and the UFO phenomenon. You know, there's Dr. Stephen Greer who's using CE5s, and they're actually on purpose having interactions. But lots of people, myself included, have had experiences accidentally like that, where, you know, maybe mine was in Mount Shasta, where you're maybe, you know, just playing with meditation in a place like Mount Shasta, and then things start to happen. So I think you're so right, Caroline, that this is very, very interconnected with everything else that is going on the planet. And this film really does bring the science into it, as well as that phenomenon of being open to it and having it, I guess it's not exactly on command, but sort of on command or on demand.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why I got the idea for this new movie, The Tear in the Sky. I said, wait a minute, I know it's real for me. I know it's real for so many people. Again, as a filmmaker, I want to bring credibility. How do I do that? Bring science. So how do I scientifically demonstrate that this is real? So I, instead of kind of going and analyzing the thousands of footage that's out there, of that other people took, but even the Navy and the Pentagon, when they released their anomalies, instead of analyzing those, I thought, okay, can we go out and capture these things in real time from scratch and then see if they are UFOs or not? And that's exactly what we did in the film. Never been done before, ever. We got a team of scientists and Navy folks as well, and experts, and a huge amount of equipment. I mean, ridiculous amount. People will see that in a film. All sorts of devices, from optical to acoustic to RF to spectrum analyzers to magnetometer, you know, a range that really, really impressive, I thought. And also we went to, from multiple locations, and we decided to do it for 5 days and see what would happen. Now, how many stories have you heard where people go on such an expedition and nothing happens, you know, but they've only invested in like, excuse me, one camera or one, you know, binocular or something. We had hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment and staff and crew and film crew. And we ended up not only capturing one thing. I was hoping for one really cool thing. You know, I was like, at least one that is like, you know, irrefutable piece of evidence, you know. And sure enough, we ended up with multiple sightings that are 100% anomalous, because they defy the laws of physics. the way they are going against the wind, the way they are rotating, appearing, disappearing, registering cold, raining down at crazy speed. And of course, at the end of the movie, which is the title of the movie, this anomaly that nobody can figure out. So it was hugely, hugely successful. I think everybody should watch this film.
I agree with you. It is it is amazing. The Terror in the Sky, you know, that virtually is a wormhole. A wormhole that UFOs were appearing and disappearing through. And the scientific evidence of all this different spectrum, right? Seeing it in different spectrums and catching it is incredible. One of my favorite parts was, you know, by this point, if you're listening to this, you probably heard of the Tic Tac incident off of the coast of San Diego, and that there was these Tic Tacs. And initially, you know, I had heard, oh, there was a couple or something. And then in the movie, all the people that were aboard the Navy ships that did this were talking about, no, it wasn't just one or two. It was 100. And that they were raining down from the sky at, you know, 5,000, 84,000 miles an hour. This is not possible, you know, with our technology. So it was, and then going into the water, if you're, you know, as if you've ever done a belly flop, you know how it feels when you do a belly flop and you smack into the water. Physical objects, they were able to go into the water just like that. And so it's, they're breaking our laws of physics here and what's possible. And to have the scientific evidence is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, if people out there don't know exactly what we're talking about, I know in the United States, there were videos released in 2017 was the first time it was released, of naval footage, radar footage of what they're calling. There was a Tic Tac, a Go Fast, and a Gimbal, or what they called them. And it was just a few seconds, really, of one craft in each video. And originally they were leaked, and now we know maybe they were just released, but it's actual naval footage. So I wanted to give everybody that background. It's not just a nut job out there with a camera. So in this film, what Bill and Caroline are talking about, they have some of the people. Kevin Day is one radar operator. He actually lives here in my area, who was one of the very first witnesses of this. So you can look those things up. The Gimbal, the Go Fast, the Tic Tac. Some of them were filmed off of the Nimitz, a battleship. And was there another one too, Caroline, another ship?
Yeah, the USS Kidd, the USS Omaha, and the USS Roosevelt, they all reported similar object, Tic Tac. Like when people say, what is a Tic Tac? Well, the object, it was elongated and looked, because it didn't have any appendages or anything. So it looked like the candy Tic Tac. That's why we started calling them the Tic Tac, the Navy Tic Tac videos. And yeah.
And what your film brings out, and I didn't know this either, was like Bill said, in those videos, when they leak them, it appears it's like this one little ship zooming through the sky. And that's not the case at all. In some cases, hundreds, right? And raining out of the sky into the water. And the thing that fascinated me the most, that really was, I think, highlighted in your film, is that going into the water. What are they going into the water for?
Yes.
We're concerned with them being in the sky, but there's something in the water, clearly. And so your film was centered around the Catalina Island area in California. And many of these sightings were also in that same area, right? From the naval ships.
Yeah, exactly. Not the USS Roosevelt. That was off of the coast of Virginia. But the other ships were all in the same area. And since we had the radar operator and a couple of other guys from the same ship, in the movie, we thought it makes sense. If all these ships are reporting these TikTok objects literally raining down in that area, let's go back to the same area and see if we can capture anything similar or closely, remotely similar in 2021. You know, the first one was reported to 2004. And the odds of capturing this is like, what, you know? I really wasn't, and going in the movie, in the production, I really wasn't expecting anything like this to happen. And sure enough, it totally blew my mind when we literally captured the same shaped ones and the ones literally raining down. I mean, it's insane.
It's really amazing. Okay, everybody, I know you're on the edges of your seat. We have to take a quick break and hear from the nice folks at the UK Health Radio Network. So we'll be back in just a moment. UK Health, take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back where we're talking with Caroline Corey about A Tear in the Sky and the amazing experience you had during this time. And you were saying, what are the odds? Well, and what went through my mind was, well, maybe pretty high. Maybe they're there all the time. Maybe that's what they do. That's their route. Maybe there's work they're doing under the ocean or materials.
You know, I gotta make a comment on this because, so I lived in Avalon for about 9 months a year for, I think it was probably 7 years. And I had a yacht and I was right in the Avalon Harbor. And then I also had an aircraft and I would go back and forth to San Diego, you know, and, you know, randomly, you know, go back and forth. So I had, you know, several hundred hours of flight time in between San Diego, Avalon, San Diego. So in my entire time, right, and, you know, being aboard the vessel and being in the air, not one time did I see a UFO. But I'll tell you, you know, number one, there were friends of mine that ran the theater, which is the casino. And they said, because I don't know why, but you know, this is way before, you know, I was into any of this, but they said, oh yeah, you know, there's UFOs out here. Yeah. I seen them in the middle of the night. I was up in the casino walking around and looked out the window and boom, there it was. So anyway, it's there, but still, you know, you capturing it in that exact time frame. There was only 4 or 5 days and you captured it. Unbelievable. Which makes me think because you are so, you know, you had this gift since a childhood of communication and beings. I'm just wondering if you had set your intention, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? I won't be here now and I'm going to triangulate because, by the way, when she said they were in three locations, they're not moving locations. They triangulated, you know, LA, Catalina, and then another position. So that they would have three different positions in order to get full scientific validation, you know, get the facts. So anyway, Caroline, did you do something? Did you fall in?
Yeah, you know what? I was also in this film, I was dealing with hardcore scientists. So, you know, we couldn't even talk about consciousness or anything like that, or integrated in the movie. And so I was kind of on my own with this and, you know, going in. But I also financed the film. So going in, as I was paying the bill, I was thinking, oh my God, what if nothing happens? So in my hotel room, you know, I was doing my own communication and going, okay, guys, you know what we're doing? It's for the higher good. So please show up, show me one really amazing thing. And sure enough, I mean, it just happened. I knew something amazing was going to happen. I just didn't know exactly what. And also you have to keep a little bit of element of surprise, you know. Sure. But I knew it was going to be July 14th. And that's when we set up the expedition that week, from the 12th to the 16th. And sure enough, July 14th was the first sighting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
So what do you think this is, Caroline? So like I said, we have a lot of people talking about this right now, about just setting the intention to see something and then they really do. Over time, I would imagine people have done this for thousands of years, but it seems like it's really working. Do you have any idea about why it seems to be so prevalent now?
Well, yeah, because we are, you know, the fact that you don't see consciousness or mind doesn't mean it's not there. You know, we know that there is such a thing as entanglement. Entanglement, you know, two particles, you know, physical particles connecting at a distance. I mean, this is a scientific fact. I mean, the fact that the mind operates on electrical signals, you know, why is it so far-fetched to think that two minds couldn't also be connected in the same principle of entanglement at a distance, whether it be on the same planet between me and you, or, you know, with an invisible entity that's out there somewhere? It's the same principle, because there's no different, I mean, there's no distance issue here. And so it's all non-local. So that's why I believe it's very real. We just don't know how to prove it yet. Working on that, but
well, but you didn't.
Yeah. And there's so much evidence. I mean, we call it intuition. We call it premonition. We call it all sorts of things. Serendipity. You know, when we connect with something or someone. You know, how does a mother know exactly what happened to their daughter or their son across the, you know, the globe exactly at the time that it did? How does that work? You know, and is this psychic ability? What is psychic? You know, there's got to be some sort of mechanism that allows these sorts of things to happen. And it's all consciousness, and it's all entangled with the fabric of space-time itself. And so the fact, again, that science isn't there yet doesn't mean that it's not real. It's very real.
I think it's just that science doesn't have a way to explain it yet. Like you're talking about the entanglement, I know a set of twins that weren't speaking to each other. They were fiery redheads and they would get in tiffs. And they lived on opposite sides of the United States. Well, one had a surgery and the surgery started, it was in Florida, and it started very, very early in the morning, 6 or something in the morning, which have been 3 o'clock in the morning, our time. And her twin felt the surgery only without anesthesia.
Oh my God.
It was in the upper chest area. So she didn't know her twin was having surgery. She didn't know there was anything wrong with her. Felt this and knew that it was her twin. So immediately got on the phone. She got her husband, the twin's husband, on the phone, and he explained she was having surgery in that area of her body. So I think it's happening, and it's happened to us throughout history. I think even we've seen things like these UFOs, maybe with our own eyes in plain sight, but didn't know how to recognize it. So our brains just don't register. So I think it's just movies like yours where you're catching up with the technology. It's the science that's late to the party, I think, right? And now this movie is actually showing that's with that scientific side, what's actually there and may have been there all along.
Yeah, because the implication of what you just said is huge. The idea that consciousness is literally everywhere means that it is entangled with the physical world, the fabric of space-time. And if it is, and it's affecting each other, one is affecting the other. You know, I connected to these beings or whatever they were, and they did what I was thinking was going to happen. How do you explain that in that moment? This means the implication of this is huge. It means that our consciousness can literally affect the physical body, the chemistry of the body, because it's the physical world, the fabric of space-time. And so that's why this film, yes, it's about UFOs. Yes, we're bringing scientific validation, but the idea, the implication of the bigger picture that we are connected to a much larger intelligence, whether it's about their technology, how are they getting here? That's the idea. That's what this film brings up. You know, how is it possible for beings to just show up when they're technically supposed to be light years away? So that's why this film is not just, I mean, of course it's about UFOs, but it's not just that. It takes it to a whole new level and makes you think that way.
Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, well, gosh, you know, I tell you what, I probably never, you know, if you back up, if we kind of reverse the car here and back up 20 years ago or whatever, I was so thinking that UFOs are not real. They are so tinfoil hat, you know, I could not even pay attention long enough to get through the three syllables. You know, you get to UF and I'd be like, no. You know, you're wasting my time. Well, fast forward, you know, a lot of people listening to this, you know, they may be starting to question that. And although they haven't seen one yet, and I had never seen one, right? If I ain't seen it, it ain't real. So I'm, you know, fast forward, I kind of go through this this awakening thing and end up going to school, you know, basically a psychic development school, the Berkeley Psychic Institute. You know, I ripped through all their courses and, you know, and then I, you know, they asked me to become a teacher. And one of the courses when I was going through was UFOs. And I'm like, you know, you go to that set of classes and you're like, I'm basically not even paying attention. You know, I'm just going to, yeah, I'll do it. Anyway, I go back through and I got to teach this stuff. So I get to that subject matter and I was like, I got to take it serious now. I got to do this. So I go through and I, you know, take it seriously. And then I do the process and I teach the course. I'm coming back from the course, and where I live, there's a boardwalk along the bay, and I'm walking to my house along the bay, and I look up at La Jolla, over La Jolla, and I'm an aircraft and a helicopter pilot, and so I have a natural curiosity about flying things, and I look up and there's this light shining over La Jolla, and it's, you know, maybe a couple thousand feet. I thought it was the police helicopter with, they call it night sun, you know, where you look down, chase the robber type lights. And I was like, oh, what the heck is that? But it's acting erratically. And I was like, that's very curious. I can't figure it out. And I just can't figure it out. I'm like, that is really strange. And then all of a sudden, it was like in the snap of your fingers, it zipped like a J up into outer space and it changed colors. There is no rocket. I've seen rockets. I've seen, you know, military stuff. I never seen anything move like that at a quantum level. Anyway, point is that that if you haven't seen it, there's kind of a veil, if you will. A veil over, and this veil, you know, seems to me, you know, that now a lot of it is being taken away, the veil. Some people are meditating their way through it and learning techniques to clear the veil, like what I did. And then, but people are beginning to see these things. And as it becomes real, more people are being able to see. And what Carolyn was talking about talking to them and them following you. After I had kind of lost my, you know, my veil, I see another one and I'm like, hey, do something if you can. And the thing lit up. It was like the brightest sun in the sky. It was like it exploded into this brilliant sun. And not a sun, but a star, the most brightest star I've ever seen in my life. And it was like, flash, boom, and it stopped. I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, you guys. So we're having so much fun with this conversation. We've run over our break. So let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So Bill was just sharing a fun story about seeing an anomaly in the sky as well. And, you know, that makes me think, Caroline, is this really is our natural world. It seems like technology because, you know, it seems like maybe they're metal and bolts and, you know, maybe they're advanced technology, but it really is part of our natural world. And it's been here all along. I was listening to Jimmy Church, a friend of yours, today, and he was talking to Jason Quitt, and they were talking about an author named Josephus that is one of the great historians that the Catholic Church in the seminary, they learned to translate these documents. And they were talking about this one passage that they say, oh, just ignore that passage. Don't worry about that one. Well, it's a passage that literally talks about this, about essentially a UFO event that lasted for days. I think it was 5 days. So it is part of our natural world, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, that's also what I try to, you know, by the way, a little side note here, but interesting one. I called the movie A Tear in the Sky 2 years ago before I knew I was going to make the, I knew what we were going to find out. And because, and the reason being is I am interested in how the universe, the natural universe, allows for these phenomena to happen, whether it be an actual craft that's traveling at crazy speed or an extraterrestrial coming from another planet. Regardless, there is a mechanism that we still don't understand. And so that's why when you talk about the natural order of things, that's what I'm interested in. So, and I believe the fabric of space-time is like kind of the magnetic field of the planet, has specific points where the magnetic field is kind of entangled or kind of crisscrossed and kind of warps and bends light in such a way that you could perform tasks outside, I mean, that are not the normal ways, you know, faster than speed of light, appear, disappear, and things like that. So these nodes within the magnetic field, to me, are kind of opening. You know, people call them portals, whatever. So I didn't want to call it a portal in the sky, you know. So I thought a tear is like an opening of some kind is that would explain this entire phenomenon and more. How we, consciousness-wise, we connect with other beings, we have the experiences that are extraordinary. So that's kind of what I believe we actually showed in the movie. Maybe we can't say it's a wormhole, but you never know. We scientists are baffled right now.
Well, I wanted to ask about the scientists, back to the guys that, you know, you said they were not one bit interested in the consciousness part of this. What did they think? Like, off camera, I mean, were they blown away? How did they feel about this?
Well, the terror was very, I mean, they were so nervous, you know, about their reputation, about being, you know, very scientific, which is fine because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted a scientific investigation. So it wasn't about me or about, you know, it was about how do we demonstrate that scientifically. And so they were very careful to not call it this thing. So first we started with, well, it opens and closes. Let's call it a portal. And I was like, are you sure? Because that sounds very like, I don't know, new agey or something, you know, like, and then they were like, well, no, they called it a wormhole. Then it was a portal. Then it was, well, let's call it wormhole like, that way we're not. So they might. So to answer your question, they were not going to admit to anything, of course. And they're scientists. It's, I mean, that makes sense until they analyze the heck out of it. You know, they're like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's this, maybe it's it. They basically have to debunk their own discovery, their own finding, to make sure that it's one thing or another. And so we did a lot of that in the film. People will see that. But there's still so much more that they're still investigating. You know, we're still collecting data. But it's enough evidence, at least, to say this is an anomaly, 100%.
So will there be a follow-up of this film with the extra data that they're, I mean, if they're still analyzing and looking at it, will there be a follow-up?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're still working on that. They already, they're doing some presentations, but also they're gonna write a science paper on that when they have more data collected. And so, so there's definitely follow-up on this and more, you know, because we ended up with hundreds of hours of data, never been done before. We're civilians, forget, you know, I mean, just remember, we're civilians who went out and, you know, in 5 days with all this equipment, we got hundreds of hours of data. So when the government, you know, they just did this congressional hearing and they said, well, we don't really have a lot of evidence, and what we have is, you know, it's kind of strange because here we are, you know, we did it in 5 days. So, but we're still going. I mean, this is not something that a scientist is gonna, you know, in 2 months say, hey, we discovered a wormhole. They don't even know what a wormhole is. It's a potential, you know, warp of some sort that allows, you know, to travel faster than the speed of light, or, you know, it's just a definition right now. So their neck is on the line, their career's on the line. So they're gonna take their time before they say it's definitely this. But everybody's in agreement, it's definitely an anomaly.
So it makes, you know, this whole thing just, it makes me curious. You know, you had the people from the ships, right? And these guys are officers, they're officers. And so they're bound by certain secrecy type things, and things don't come out unless they're sanctioned. Right, kind of like those movies out of the F-14s, and they're filming the Tic Tacs. It's like a leak. You know, now, come on now. You know, there's things don't happen by accident with that level at the Pentagon. So they want this information to come out now. So these people that you had in your film, all the people that were off of the ships that had witnessed the original events back in 2004 or so, were they all released? Was there any talk of, hey, go ahead and say what you want now, it's okay? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know if it's like that, but I think they felt at this point, because the Navy had come out in 2017 and said, yes, it's ours, you know, it is an anomaly. The Pentagon said that. We don't know what they are. So I feel like, I don't think they were told, you can talk about it, but they felt that they didn't have anything to lose at this point, because the Navy had admitted publicly that these were anomalous objects flying in the sky. Right. And so that's the reason why. But they do divulge even more in my film, actually, more than whatever I've seen in other films, because these guys have been in other documentaries and on YouTube. But and they do talk a little bit more about that piece in my film. And because we end up capturing very similar things, whether it's, I mean, we're still trying to say, are these the exact same things? We're still analyzing that piece, but definitely same, you know, hundreds literally raining down, and the same velocity, same shapes, same size. So they feel like vindicated, like what, you know, when in 2004, everybody thought we were crazy. The people lost their careers. They were ridiculed. And now, okay, it's a long time later in 2021, 22, we're finally showing you, and also the Navy and the Pentagon having said that, and now we can just talk about it, and we're showing you, hey, we captured similar things right now with all of these instruments. So they really feel like it, their story came full circle for them through the movie. So I'm very happy about that, because on a personal level, they really, really suffered a lot.
Yeah. It's true. Kevin Day has talked about that a lot, specifically that the sighting affected him emotionally. And I can really see that when you see something that changes your entire paradigm, your worldview, brings into question your place in the universe, it does affect you. And then I know that they've shared many times that they were ridiculed, that, you know, they were told, never mind that, you know, look over there. What are we doing? You know, and just their feelings about it were not validated. So I had that thought when I saw him in this movie. Did it really release him from that? Did it make him feel validated? Did it help him feel congruent with the situation?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, he says that at the end of the film, but even privately, when I talk to Kevin, every single time I talk to him on the phone after the film, you know, he tells me, Caroline, you changed my life. Like you, because of the film, obviously, he said, you have no idea how important this was for me to finally feel vindicated, you know, kind of come to terms with it finally and find closure and really feel good about it. Every single time we talk, he thanks me about this. I was like, Kevin, you know, I just provided the platform. You're the one who, you know, did the work and was out there talking about it. So yeah, it's amazing how, so this film, you know, brings that human story that weaves in, you know, and again, all this wasn't really planned. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm going to go and find these guys and find this. It wasn't like that. You know, you do a documentary. The premise is, can we go capture UFOs in real time scientifically? That was the story. But then they're kind of them telling the story, and what we end up finding that is similar ended up being this perfect blend, you know, of real life experience and the scientific expedition and the final implication. That's why this movie goes so much beyond just the UFO thing. You know, when people talk about having intuitions or talk about their experiences and they're laughed at, you know, they're ridiculed. They say, oh, I can see an angel. And people say, no, you don't. Take a pill. You know, you're probably schizophrenic. You know, all of the whatever they may be, I'm just saying that the film allowed me to also portray that very, very important thing, how we live in a society where consciousness and all sorts of unexplained phenomenon are still, you know, need to be explained.
Yeah, I mean, Bill and I are big proponents of this. We have an event coming up in September called CognoConscious. And we really believe that, and we've seen it, not that we believe, we've seen it with our own eyes again and again and again, that consciousness is becoming more and more available, that higher and higher levels of consciousness, our eyes are being opened. We're able to see and conceive of things that we just couldn't before. At least in the US, I don't know what it's like in other parts of the world, but people are okay with the conversation about UFOs. Most people are polled and say, yeah, probably. We just don't have a big issue with it anymore. We just assume, yeah, we're probably not alone in the universe. And I think that by default, some of those other things are starting to be a little bit more and more accepted as well. Not everywhere, but just a little bit. And I do think consciousness has a huge amount to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about consciousness. We are conscious beings, and the science of consciousness explains everything. To me, that is the theory of everything.
Yeah.
You know, when we try to explain consciousness or non-tangible mechanism using Newtonian physics and Newtonian laws, which is a physical science, it doesn't work. You can't use physical laws to explain non-physical events. And so that by itself, you need to stretch the boundaries, you know, and the boundary of science itself in order to really understand all of it. And all of it is the science of consciousness, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a very simple analogy for this. Take your cell phone, for example. We all have one. It's probably within 6 inches of our bodies right now. And it's this little computer that connects us with the entire world instantly. Our money is on it. A GPS of even the night sky is on it. Everything. If we took that back just 100 years, walked into somebody's house with a cell phone connected to the internet, it would seem like the biggest miracle. It would seem like outer space. We would seem like gods. And that's just 100 years of technology. So these things that we're talking about are all probably just a few steps ahead of us in being able to be easily explained with machinery, mechanics, quantum physics, maybe regular physics, science.
100%. I mean, 100% in agreement with you. Yeah, like you're saying, even the phone itself, how we started out with these big things, do you remember?
Yeah.
When you were told, no, it's going to be this little flat thing. I mean, even for us at this, you know, going through this transition, we're like, oh, wow, technology. But yeah, 100 years ago, we would be gods. We would be like, what are they talking about? You know, some one little thing you click on and you can talk to someone or see things or get any information you want. Yeah, I mean, I am 100% sure that all these scientists are at one point or another, are they going to hit a wall where they're going to have to say, beyond this point, it is a non-tangible, non-physical science that explains the all that is. And so I can't wait for that time to happen. It's getting there. I'm working with quite a few of them, actually. Even Einstein and those guys, and Tesla, of course, would talk about the soul and spirit. So, you know, here and there, you know, obviously that wasn't the main thing. But so I can't wait for that day to come about, because, again, the implication on a societal level would be amazing, because we're waiting for science to tell us this is right, this is wrong. Well, what if they were wrong all along? But not so much wrong, just incomplete.
Yeah.
You know, because the Newtonian laws do apply to the physical world. The only thing that doesn't work is that when you try to understand other events.
Yeah. Well, you guys, we have run right up against our time. This conversation was so much fun and has gone so fast. We could talk about it for another hour. So when there's an update, would you please reach out? We'd love to have you back on to talk about that. And I think what you've done with your research And then the production of the movie has taken us into that next realm already. If more people did what you're doing and actually went out, took the bull by the horns and did the research themselves, it would advance us light years. So I think you're a pioneer in this way, and maybe there'll be more to follow. That just advances us very quickly in our understanding and our consciousness. Any last thoughts, Bill?
Care in the Sky. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. If you there, that's where I watched it. Where else can you watch it?
Yeah, they can watch it on iTunes and Vudu and things like that. So the best thing is for people to go to the website, eterinthesky.com, and they'll see all the platforms there and all the updates and all the new information. So that's probably the way to go, eterinthesky.com.
And then Caroline's last film is called Superhuman. I think that's still on Prime as well and other places. I absolutely highly recommend that. It will change how you think about so many things. And then CarolineCorey.com for Caroline's work in consciousness. Yeah. All right, you guys, this has been really fun. Everybody in UK Health Radio land, stay safe and be well. And we'll see you all again next week. And Caroline, we'll see you again really soon. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.